Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
You are listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. Call in to live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
It's time for Enlightenment in the City with El Hosho Tara on the News for the Soul Network. El is a spiritual coach and intuitive reader with a unique flair. Strong yet soft, compassionate with a heart, she lives the consciousness of being feminine with strength. El tells it like it is. Welcome El Hosho Tara back to News for the Soul.
Hi, everybody. My name is El Hosho Tara, and I will be your host for this hour. Woohoo! So what's going to be happening today? We're going to do a little mailbag. We've got the lines are open. That's area code 646-595-4274. That's area code 646-595-4274. So if you want to get on the show today, now's a good time to call in. So what is happening out there? What is the subject for today? The mystery box is opened, and it's be happy. It's be happy anyways. And it's like right now, it's like looking at the state of the world going, okay, what now? What are we supposed to be doing? And it's true, be happy anyways. So because one of the things that we see a lot, and I understand, like, this isn't easy when people are going through it, okay, because, you know, some people are finally feeling like they have their voices. You know, it's like Black Lives Matter, and I think that's really beautiful, and I think that's very wonderful, and I would like everybody to notice, because there's a little bit of a debate on Facebook, that I'm saying Black Lives Matter, not All Lives Matter, and the reason for this, I know it's not always popular, because when we're dealing with the spiritual stuff, it's like, everybody's life should matter. And is that true? Yeah, absolutely. But the thing is, though, is that when we're dealing with Black people in North America, we're actually dealing with a segment of the population that it has been traumatized. And yes, I understand, like, the Black-on-Black stuff, too, you know, and that is part of it. Like, it doesn't become, like, okay, you know, whether it's from whites or whether it's Black, it doesn't make it the trauma difference. I want to be clear. You're still dealing with a traumatized, you're still dealing with a skin color with in North America where you're dealing with a lot of trauma. and Black Lives Matter is not, and this is one of the things that I see going around a lot, are these miscommunications where people think, well, if they're saying Black Lives Matter, they're saying that the other colors don't matter. And it's kind of like, to put this in perspective, it's kind of like when the Me Too movement started taking its big swings and people started really coming on board with that, and you'd get males going, well, I got dumped too. I've been hurt by women. Me too. And you've got all these women who are actually part of the Me Too movement because they've been through it, rolling their eyes going, oh, fucking God, you got to be kidding me. What are you talking about? Like, we're not talking about that right now. Like, yes, all lives matter. And I understand, you know, you poor male that some woman is dumped to. Not quite the same thing as being fucking raped, okay, or molested. That shit affects the rest of your life. And he's like, well, I didn't trust again. And, you know, I have to visit 15-year-old hookers now. And it's like, you know, and you'd see these, like, really, and the hookers, seriously, there were guys going on Facebook whining, and a lot of those girls are young, and there were guys going on Facebook about how they can't trust women, so therefore they have to visit hookers. And I want to be really clear about this, because when we're saying, like, when we're trying to do the All Lives Matter, it is not because you have a different skin color other than Black, you don't count, you know, because you know, it's not like, hey, you know, Black Lives Matter, you know, fuck the Latinx who are going through, you know, racism themselves, okay? Because, hey, guess what? Latinx matters too. And so it's not a, you know, like, fuck the other colors. And it's not a, you know, fuck white people, although some people are seeming to want to go that way. Some people, you know, of color are understanding that, like, that's not the answer. And it's, you know, and it's really important to get into this understanding that, you know, when there's trauma, the patterns that people are going through right now, and you're seeing these in the mainstream media, these are patterns that people go through when there's been trauma, whether it's from them, whether it's been from another skin color, their same skin color, whoever. These are normal patterns of trauma that we see. Now, here's the kicker, okay? When we're talking about being happy anyways, and this does not take away from anything that anybody is going through, whether they're like horrified about the COVID, racism, because you can't just change the color of your skin. And the reason I'm linking like Black Lives Matter and I'm comparing it to the Me Too movement is because when you're dealing with racism, and it's very hard to describe it if you haven't been through it, but when you're dealing with racism and true racism, not just somebody of other color blaming you and you're like, oh, fuck that person, I don't mean that. I mean, like, true racism where your life is on the line. It's one of the things that's very traumatizing about it is the fact that this, and there's many different reasons. This is not the only one by any means. There is this veil of safety that dissolves. And rape victims know this. You know, you never look at the world the same way again after you've been raped. You just don't. If you've been molested but not raped, you may not have had the veil pierced in the same way that a rape victim has, in which you cannot trust the rest of the world. And with racism, and I'm not talking about like little minute amounts where, like, you know, I've been to LA and I've had a couple of people of color, you know, get really nasty at me because they're like, oh, look, you know, this person who looks white, oh, that fucking bitch. And they've been really nasty to me. That does not pierce the veil. I want to be very clear. What happens, though, is that this veil that gets pierced is when you start to realize, and white people who've traveled and you've traveled into a war-torn district, you may have had a touch of that veil. Some of you have, some of you haven't. But you start to get the sense that there's going to be no help for you. Like, people that you thought were your friends and that were going to stand up for you, all of a sudden emotions run high, they turn against you. You're not going to get any help from the police because your skin color is different. I had this experience, and I won't say which country, but it was not my skin color. And it was the oddest thing that, you know, like, all of a sudden people can like completely and absolutely turn against you because you don't have the same skin color and they consider you to be a problem. So they're going to take it out on you. And you start to realize like, okay, wow, things have really turned. I got to get to the airport. And I'm speaking about my own experience here. Bear with me. And it's like, okay, I'm going to get to the airport and then I'll be safe, but I can't trust the cabbies to drive me to the airport. I didn't rent a car. The cabbies may be taking it out on me. It's going to be, you know, it's quite a long drive to get to the airport because airports are usually out of the way. I don't know what the cabbie's going to do to me on the way to the airport. I can't trust the police because the police are the same color as the other people. And I don't know what they're going to do to me. My best option is to hole up in that hotel room for 3 days and wait until it's safe to be able to emerge my head. Excuse me. Hopefully get to an airport in time and get landed in, even if not my country, at least a country with similar skin color to mine, where I'm not going to have a problem. Now, with racism, you don't have that option if you live there and you don't have the money to, like, all of a sudden pack up and go somewhere else. You just don't. And that's what, and what I'm talking about, I had the veil pierced there, but I came back out of it because I got the illusion of safety back again, because when I came back to Canada, I did not have that problem anymore. When we're dealing with blacks in North America, they do not have that option of all of a sudden changing their skin color, and then that veil of illusion gets dismantled. So there's a lot of lashing out right now, which, you know, whatever color it is, and I'll use white people as an example, you see these same patterns of reactivity and reaction, and like, I'm not going to take it anymore. You're going to see that in white people who've been victims of trauma. So these are not, you know, things that like, oh God, you know, like tier one, you know, like, oh, we don't have to take this seriously because it's like a different color, because you get the same pattern through every skin color. These are normal responses to trauma. Now, normal responses to trauma does not mean beneficial, and it does not mean beneficial long-term. And this does not mean that, you know, people of color need to knock it off immediately. Why? Because everybody needs to be heard. And right now, the Black Lives Matter movement is about having Black people be heard. Just like in the Me Too movement, it did not take away from that. From the fact that there were some guys who got dumped by women, and there are guys out there who'd been molested too, okay? I really want to be clear about that. So it wasn't a Me Too movement where it totally disregarded, you know, all males, although some women tried to go that route, and it's like, you're a man, you don't know what I'm talking about. It did not disregard all males, because some males have been hashtag Me Too as well. There are young boys who've been raped. We need to get in reality with that, so there are men who are suffering because of their own traumas. What I am talking about, though, when we're going into, like, All Lives Matter, is that just like you've seen some guys, they actually started a men's rights group. And it's like, you got to be fucking kidding me. And that was their response to Me Too. And I've seen elderly white males up here in North America complaining and whining that women are somehow abusing them because they won't pick up their socks anymore. And yes, 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 they're abusing the poor downtrodden male. So what we're looking for when we're respecting other people's processes right now is that right now it's the time for Black voices to be heard, for them to be understood in what it is that they're going through. It does not mean putting up with bashing. You know, when we look at the Me Too movement, and I was calling out women on this because you got to be one of the people to call out your own people. I was a victim. I, you know, had been molested. I went through a lot of crap when I was a kid, but you can't take it out on every single male that ever existed just because you got hurt when you were a kid. You just can't. It does not answer the solutions. So it's not about, you know, taking a lot of guff just because of your gender or just because of your skin color, but it's that other people don't need to take that either. In this case, people who've been victims, Me Too, they're not needing to take a bunch of guff because they should have, you know, they, you know, like, okay, you were 7 years old, well, you should have known better. Well, that's really not the case. The power imbalance is so great. As a child, you really can't stand up for yourself. You need other adults to be advocates for you. And it's the same thing with the Black Lives Matter. To get it heard, they need to be able to have this time to speak, and they need other people to be their advocates. It does not mean that you need to be abused by some people who don't understand that, but some people do. And the reason some people do is because if you understand how the mind and the brain works, and this is really important, making other people stop does not create healing in the person. So we can stop racism, which is absolutely beautiful, but it's not going to create as much healing as people actually need. So we need to actually not just stop racism, which we need to do, but we also need to put money, time, and effort into actually helping people who need it heal. And right now, part of the healing process is for people of color is to have their voices be heard, to have their suffering understood, and to have it understood that they're going through something that a lot of other people won't. And I won't say that other people have not been abused by cops, because they have, but I'm also not going to say that every single last cop that's out there is really bad. I've actually met some really magnificent ones, and I've actually met a lot of amazing people of color. I love Latinx. I want to tell you that. I heart Latinx, because they are some of the most wonderful people that I've ever met. They're very heart-filled. They are very, you know, open. They are very loving. I love, love, love Latinx. So this isn't about, you know, one side or the other, you know, should be regarded more. It's that it's just simply the time period for a certain population to be heard, and honoring that and not trying to, like, override it. And I understand I haven't said this exactly perfectly, you know, because it is a sensitive subject to address, and I'm trying to get it understood from all sides, because we don't have all these sides understood, and that's what's part of the creating the problem. And the problem is, and this is in no way disregarding everything that I've just talked about with the Black Lives Matter, but when we're dealing outside of that, though, after that, you know, after the voices have been heard, after some of the rage has been heard, after points have been made, after, you know, legislation has hopefully been changed, after, you know, all these sorts of things start to happen, and I'm seeing a lot of companies, they're making more of an effort to put people of color on their staff, you know, and that's really beautiful. That needs to happen. So when, you know, all this stuff starts to happen, you know, what is the next steps after that? And so from this perspective, I'm not talking about, I am talking to people who are still going through it, but I'm more talking to people who are, you know, ready to move on to the next level, which is that part of the healing from it is actually learning how to have happiness, and it's about learning how to have joy. And some people have figured this out. You see very marginalized people in different countries all over the world where they're really poor, they're people of color, and, you know, they're having their dances at night and everybody's happy, everybody's joyous, because you have to have that, and that is part of the healing process. So, you know, it is be happy anyways, not to disregard, like, you know, when somebody's in the middle of going through it and saying, oh my God, just be happy anyways. But for people who are ready to come out of it, people who are more advanced out of it, it is that we need to look at, like, being happy anyways. And that is part of the healing process, because when we do the things that, like, make our soul truly sing, and that's not the payoff that the brain gets from being angry when there is trauma that needs to be healed. But when we do the things that actually get us to where we go, that is part of actually how we make racism change. This is how we start to get respect. This is how we stop traumatizing other people through our own traumas. This is where you get, like, when you get people are saying, well, you know, blacks hurt other blacks. Yeah, because people who are traumatized hurt other people. And so, you know, to come out of trauma, we need to all learn how to be happy. And that's, like, the higher step. That's the next level step, is to learn how to be happy. And you have to learn how to do it and be happy anyways. And part of that being happy is, you know, to do your work, you know, work on healing the trauma, helping get attention to get the resources for people to help heal the trauma. There's a huge, huge, huge shortage of that when we're dealing with people who've been traumatized. So people can't easily escape, you know, codependency, never mind, you know, codependency with racism or, you know, racism where there's, like, no escaping from it. So, or it feels like there's no escaping from it. And it's going to take a lot of effort to change, you know, everything that's going on, because it's not just about, you know, and I'll use white people as an example of this. I see a lot of white people who've been through the ringer, and they think that if other people change, if they think that if other people somehow, you know, do them right and do everything they wanted, that they shouldn't have to participate, they shouldn't have to do anything, and suddenly magically their life's going to turn out well, and it just doesn't work like that. And that's one of the, you know, it's a normal common pattern of trauma where this thinking process goes like that. People start to think that, you know, other people should do the work. I shouldn't have to because I've been hurt, but it doesn't work that way, because the side effects of the brain, well, it's your brain. You still have to do the work on your own brain. It's your nervous system. You still have to do the work on your own nervous system. And you also have to do your own work for understanding. I'm not talking about in racism for the most part, but we do have to look at, for everybody, you know, what are our responsibilities for what we've put out there. So, for example, I've used in the past an example, I'll call the person Red, where Red has, you know, shown up at work, been late, yelling at everybody, you know, gets called on it. It's like, hey, guess what? You need to show up on time. And, you know, this behavior of yelling at everybody because you're pissed off doesn't work. You know, and Red's like, oh, fuck you, you know, you bitches and everything else, and is lashing out. And they think they're entitled to do it because they've been hurt. That only creates more trauma. It traumatizes other people in the room or in that business. And, you know, the traumatized person's like, good, they deserve it. They should know what it feels like too. But that's how trauma gets spread. That's how that person got traumatized in the first place, as part of it, can often be because somebody else had that attitude that they should be able to traumatize Red. And Red should take it because they should know what it feels like, because, you know, Green decided that's how, you know, Green has decided, like, that they need sympathy and they should be able to either give it out to other people because they got it, but it doesn't work that way. All it does is spread more trauma. So, you know, Green traumatizes Red, Red traumatizes other people, and these are actually how the abuse patterns keep on going. So whether, you know, very large levels or very low levels, excuse me, and I've talked about this in the past, is that, you know, the people who thrive the most in life, they take the most responsibility for their life and they're saying, I'm going to make the changes. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be compassionate. I'm going to look at my own dark side and look at what it is that I need to change. And they work on it and they improve it. And the people that, you know, are willing to do their own work, the two people that do their own work are willing to get together and then things become better. And from that perspective, you can donate to different causes or you can become a coach, a therapist, a facilitator, trauma specialist, whatever it is. And you can help other people who you understand where they're coming from, but you do it from a healed perspective. You do it from a higher perspective of learning and having resolved your own stuff. And that helps heal trauma. And that's what we're looking for. And part of that is being happy anyways, in spite of, you know, whatever's going on around you. And again, this is not to, you know, disregard racism by any means, but it's like, you know, I'm going to be happy today anyways. Oh, look, you know, somebody's biting my head off, you know, because of the color of my skin, because, you know, they think I'm white. So it's like, okay, they think they're going to take it out on me. It's like, no, I'm going to have a happy day anyways, because I know that's not going to solve anything. But, you know, I still understand where you're coming from. I understand it's very hard to, you know, be going through these different issues, and I'm willing to take a stand against racism. I'm willing to take a stand against this or that. And, you know, instead of going into the I've been hurt too, there are some places where that's going to be appropriate. There's some places where that's not going to be appropriate. but just simply having that understanding of, like, you know, I get it. I understand what you're going through, and honoring from that position, and then, you know, and doing what you can, but it doesn't mean, you know, giving up your own happiness, because when we understand the happiness, the more that people are happy, the less they're going to hurt other people. And when people are very, you know, in the trauma, it can seem very selfish to say, like, okay, what, you need to be happy. You're going to be happy anyways. Don't you understand what I'm doing? Or don't you understand how much I'm hurting? And I'll use Red as an example. You know, if Red's saying that, well, the reason Red is going through all the trauma is because she's not willing to look at the places where she could be happy. And usually in those instances, it's because Red doesn't want to give up the feelings of pain and suffering. And this isn't always going to work exactly the same way with racism. I want to be clear. but it's that Red has to have that understanding that, you know, she still has to participate in her own happiness levels. And if she did that, things that she used to find traumatizing would not be so traumatizing anymore. And it doesn't mean, like, oh my God, all of a sudden people are going to be okay with racism. But a lot of other things that create trauma would not be so, like, horrifying. Like, you know, walking by a TV, you'll see this with rape victims, people who've been molested. They can't sit there and watch on TV, like, rape. If they see a rape on an episode of, like, Law and Order or something, they're traumatized for several days. That doesn't do anybody any good. So there has to be, like, the, you know, the be happy anyways, and, like, shutting it off. And, like, I understand that position, but I'm going to go do something happy. And from that perspective, it's part of what helps us stop traumatizing other people. And it's really weird that victims, you know, they're like, you don't understand what I'm going through. But part of what they're going through is, like, not all victims are completely and absolutely solidified and pure victim. You know, people are just always terrorizing them 100% of the time. There's actually more leeway than sometimes people who have been very traumatized want to give credit for. But those waves where it's like somebody isn't quite as traumatized, those are the places that you can actually work with somebody, or they can work within themselves, and they can actually start to come out of the trauma, and they can actually start to be happier. And from that perspective, it actually makes things easier to work out towards, you know, having healing. And to take a stand and be able to have the resilience to take stronger stands against bad behaviors, because the stronger we are in our happiness levels, the more the bad stuff actually stands out. And people don't seem to understand that when they're very imbued in trauma, they think that staying in it is going to get their point across, but it actually, and it's not that anybody's going to be able to magically come out of it all of a sudden. They can't. It's impossible. You know, it's not like just all of a sudden, oh, I've decided to give it up. Yes, 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 boom. You know, unless you've had one of those miracle awakenings, that usually it will not go away just instantaneously like that. Part of what helps it go away is for the victims to start knowing, like, what actually does make their soul sing, and living from that perspective. And that perspective helps to build skill set. Built skill set helps to gain respect. It helps to you know, clean up communities. There's a lot of people of color who are, you know, going out and cleaning up their, you know, cleaning up after the rioters. There are people of color who are having their businesses ruined because of the rioters, you know, and I don't think that's okay. So, you know, and this is another thing, like when there's a lot of trauma, sometimes people don't want to take anybody else's feelings into account. And we're seeing a lot of that happen right now, too. And it does. And that's another way that, you know, abuse passes on. So people of color are getting people of color who are business owners are getting more traumatized right now. Because not only are they facing racism, but then they're getting their stores trashed and stuff like that. And, you know, that needs to be stopped. That can't happen. You know, that's not okay, because it adds more trauma into people who are already, you know, going through massive amounts of trauma. So happiness levels, you know, and taking responsibility for what it is that we need to heal. We could heal the whole planet that way, and we could stop racism. Because part of stopping racism is being self-responsible and not doing racism. So when we put all that into perspective, like that's the stuff that actually helps us heal. It's the positive stuff. And sometimes people don't always understand that. So I hope, I know that was a little bit confusing, but I hope I got that across a little bit better, because I'm seeing, you know, a lot of people suffering right now. And, you know, it's over stuff that they don't really need to be suffering over, you know, like give somebody else a chance to hear it. I love Michael Che, Che is his last name. I love that guy. And he explains it best, you know, he's like saying, you know, when somebody says Black Lives Matter, it's like, well, all lives matter. It's like saying when a woman asks her man, do I matter to you? And he's like, well, honey, all women matter to me. And, you know, if you know anything about how women work at all, it's like, oh, fuck, you know, that guy stepped in it. And so Michael Che has got a short little thing on it for his comedic stuff on YouTube. I love that guy. You know, it's a 3-minute thing. And it's a really great way to sort of like have people understand a little bit better through humor, which can often make a good impact because it'll help to bypass a lot of the egoic stuff and helps people to come to their own conclusions. So we have, let's see, we're going to do mailbag right now. Okay, so we have Shelly in Chicago. She'd like reading about her online relationship of 3 months. Is he a catfish or legit? So one moment here, Shelly in Chicago. So it doesn't look like a scammer, but he does look like somebody you're going to want to not be involved with. There's just too much garbage you're going to be having to go through. You're not going to be happy in that relationship. I really want to tell you that. You're not going to like some of the stuff that you're about to go through with that guy. I would really suggest that. That's something that you're just going to want to say no to. So, yeah, I understand it's not always what people want to, you know, hear. It's like, wouldn't it be wonderful, you know, if somebody's, like, online. It's like you feel like you finally met somebody. But you got to be able to pick the people that are actually going to be healthy and beneficial for you to be involved with, that their behavioral patterns are sorted out. They know how to, you know, put in more positive attributes. Sometimes people find that scary if they feel like they're weak on that on their own. But self-development's always the best answer for that, to strengthen our own self. Anytime you start getting with the place where people haven't strengthened their stuff, the less that they've strengthened it, the more trouble that you're going to be going through. And that guy is going to be, you're not going to like the relationship, to put it politely. So thank you for writing in, and good luck with everything. Let's see, now we have Shelly in Halifax. Shelly B, thank you for giving me your last name initial, sweetie. Really appreciate that. So Shelly B in Halifax, she wants a reading to see if there are any dark entities around her and what she can do to clear the energy. Okay, so first off, things are like absolutely batshit crazy. There's a lot of dark shit going around, so it's not just you. Let's see. Ooh, yep, you got a big one. Let's see, hold on. So I really like Nicole on one of the previous shows, our hostess with the most, or not hostess, sorry, our founder with the mostest. She was recommending Jane Phillips before for dealing with like the large entities and stuff like that, for dealing with curses and stuff like that. And I really like that idea because you know what? There's so much going on right now with all the entities. I'd really like you to talk to somebody who's more specialized in that because I'm really seeing the big bang, you know, boom kind of thing happening. And I do not like the ones that I'm seeing around you in terms of clearing the energy. Jane is apparently supposed to be really good at being able to clean things up in terms of like curses and stuff like that. So I'm hoping she'll be able to do the same for you for the energy. But yeah, basically you can just shove it up, sort of like send it to the light. But I am seeing things like sort of hanging around. There's a lot of dark stuff right now. So I'd really rather you talk to Jane about that. You can check our website. That's newsforthesoul.com. And you can find her. Her name is Jane Phillips. And you can give her a call. So let's see, we have, and thank you for writing in, we have Lisa in New York, and she'd like advice on keeping her vibrations up while quarantined in a home with negative people. That's always the fun stuff, right? It's fun dealing with negative people anyways, never mind if you're stuck with them and they're going crazy and they don't want to be responsible for their stuff. You know, because all the crap starts to go around. People usually, you know, the more there is of it, the less they understand the impact that they're having on other people. And the more that they, like, you know, they don't get it. And it's like if you put a stop to anything, then they start to lash out. You know, and it's like it can be a really, real load of crap. I'm not saying Lisa in New York, that's what you're going through. I haven't read the people you're quarantined with yet. It's just some of the patterns that you see when dealing with people when they are, will be polite and say, not woke. So one moment here. See, okay, so here's the problem, Lisa. You are in with people who don't think that they're doing anything wrong. They just don't see the point of it. And if you grow, being shown is that as you grow, then that's when they start to lash out because they don't think that's fun. They don't think it's not their comfort level. So then they're like, meh, 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 meh. And then of course that's not fun. And there you go. So what it is, you know, like it's not always easy to do that, but you got to do your growth work anyways, you know, and the places where you grow and people are very threatened by it, it helps to show their limits of like how much you're really going to be able to expect from them. And you know that you're not really going to be able to get them to cooperate. So when you're trying to, you know, like if you're trying to do anything, like get them to, you know, be happier. And I've got somebody, I see one person, short blonde hair, who's sort of like, you know, it's their idea of a good time to hold you down. And one of the reasons for this is when it's not in somebody's comfort level to grow to a certain degree, they will try to pull it down to a comfort level that they're comfortable with. And some people even, they get like, it's a really weird sort of payoff that people get from like pulling things down to their comfort level. Like it's not just the comfort level, but for some people, like it becomes a power trip to pull other people down. And they get sort of like this really gross energy where they're self-satisfied and kind of smug about it while doing it. Because you know, a lot of those negative behaviors, the reason it's so hard to break a lot of the negative behaviors is number one, you have to have the self-discipline. Number two, you have to have the awareness. Number two, you have that's what somebody's actually like, people have to have the internal awareness. That's actually what they're doing. Number three, they have to know what the other appropriate actions are going to be in order to help stop the pattern. So, you know, you need all three of those things in order to really have somebody make an effective change in their life. And then number four, which just becomes a cherry on the top, is that there actually becomes a payoff in the brain for acting in certain negative ways. So people really get power filled with being very negative and taking it out on other people. So you've got somebody who, you know, number one, won't be polite and say the most woke, but they're actually getting payoff in the brain for acting like this. Excuse me. So when you're dealing with people who have the payoff, your silence is really important. And I don't mean silence where you got to put up with their shit. It's that as long as you don't tell a lot of people what you're doing, quite frankly, they're not going to have a fucking clue. And you all know this because you've all had an experience at some point in time where you've done something really, really excellent and nobody's gotten it. And you're like, wait, how do you not understand? Like, look at all this brilliant, beautiful stuff I did. Like, look how much housework I did today. And they're like, yeah, I don't get it. Like, well, everybody's got to do that. Why is it such a big deal? And you get this, like, with, like, childbirth, right? Like, women have had this experience, at least I know I have, where it's like, oh, shit, I'm scared of going to labor. Eh, all women do it. It's no big deal. You know, having that baby melon coming out of your hoo-ha is still a big freaking deal. Why? Because it still fucking hurts. Well, I knew someone who it didn't hurt. She, I went through labor. She didn't really have any pain. Fine. Grab the cantaloupe, push it up your rear end, and then we'll talk. Oh, and get the rest of the baby out while you're at it. Because we're talking, you know, 7-8 pounds. Do that, and then we'll talk, you know. But it's not the same thing. Guys weren't built for that. You know, pain's fucking pain, just to be clear. And just because something is built for it, it's built for it, but it causes pain while it's doing that process. That doesn't go away. Just to be clear about that. So, you know, when we're dealing with, you know, people who don't really understand and they don't see it, as long as you don't tell them what you're doing for those positive actions, people who really don't get it, quite frankly, they're not really going to get it until they've had the training and or until they want to get it. Because people could take the training and they're like, nope, nope, nope. You know, and you could tell them till the cows come home and they'll just like disregard it or whatever else. Or else they'll go into attacking mood on you, you know, trying to make it stop, et cetera. And then they get the payoff for, you know, being jerks, because being a jerk does have a payoff. It does make people feel like they've got that internal sense of power. And that's part of the reason why people actively do it. So this is part of the reason why you have to be careful about who you're involved with, who you live with. You know, so that's not always easy. But it is part of the reason, you know, why we do have to be careful. And from that perspective, you know, when you're dealing with very toxic people, you know, it's like you do something bad, they get on you. You do something good, they get on you. You know, there are people like, you know, the kids are helping their parents with their elderly parents at the housework. The parents are very abusive. You know, somebody will come over and they'll wash down the counters for them because the counters are filthy. And, you know, the first thing the parent will do is be like, oh my God, yeah, you're such a bitch. Oh, you think you're so good for like washing down the fucking counter? Who the fuck do you think you are? Where were you last 3 times this week? You know, and it's like, you know, and it's very abusive because from the adult perspective, it's like, these are not my counters, mom or dad. You know, it's like, it's not my job to clean your house for you. You know, I did this, you know, it was really beneficial. You know, you're welcome, but instead of getting even a thank you, you will get when people are very, very abusive, and usually, again, abuse comes from people being traumatized, you'll get people who are very abusive that you'll, no matter what you do, you can point it out till the cows come home, and they won't recognize it, they won't acknowledge it, and then the more you point it out, the more that they'll actually pile up with the abuse. So it's really important, and they talk about this in different spiritual teachings, is that you actually need to be silent about what it is that you're doing. And number one, it reduces the attack that you go through because, again, for a lot of people, as long as you don't tell them what you're doing that's positive, they're not going to fucking notice. And so you can just actually raise your own vibration and keep yourself happy even if other people don't notice. And that includes, like, cleaning your room, you know, or, like, reorganizing your own closet, you know, doing the stuff that you need to be doing in your own life, which is always what everybody needs to be doing in their own life anyways. You know, so like, you know, if I'm organizing my, you know, my, shelf set, or I forget what it's called, my little cabinet, right? You know, if I'm doing that with somebody who, around somebody who's very critical, if it's my cabinet, even if I would if I was living with somebody else who's very critical, if I'm cleaning my cabinet, they're probably not going to notice. They might notice that I'm busy, but they won't really take stock into the fact that, you know, I'm actually doing things to make myself happy or that I'm working on myself to be more disciplined, to be neater, to be cleaner, to be more on top of things, whatever. They won't actually have a clue. And what will happen is from an outside perspective, the more that we just self-discipline without explaining to other people, we lessen our attack. But we also grow ourselves, and it'll go actually right underneath people's noses. What'll happen is people who like to attack a lot, they seem to think like there's nobody out there who does anything good. And people who do a lot of good out there actually do a lot of good out there, but they're not necessarily noticed because you have to do a certain amount of positivity in order to be able to see positivity. If people don't do it, a lot of them won't notice it. If they're not doing positive in that area, they won't actually notice when you're doing it. And then they think the whole world sucks. Well, it's not that the whole world sucks. It's that there's payoff for doing our own work. And the more that we do our own stuff, the more that we're able to recognize these things in other people. So from an outside perspective, what will happen is you'll just look like somebody who's just like a little bit calmer. And, you know, when people go on to attack for like no good reason, there tends to be things like, you know, trauma issues, visceral issues, and there becomes this like feeling in the belly that people need to release, and people will usually release it, and it comes from trauma, but people will usually release it by trying to take it out on other people. So with Blondie, you're not really going to be able to escape that because it's just Blondie doing what Blondie needs to, because when those feelings are there and people are not able to explain them, because most people don't know about how all this stuff works, what'll happen is they'll just bite to relieve it. And if you explain, what you're doing that's positive or try to fix them, then they get threatened because you're trying to change them and they don't know how to do it. So then that's when you can like get lashed out. You can get bitten. Sometimes they may walk away, and if they walk away, great. Leave them there. Do not chase them. Just let them go hunker down. I understand it's not the most comfortable thing, but you can't force somebody else into growth. There's a lot of spiritual information out there about how like it's actually bad to infringe on somebody else's journey. It's not easy to live with people when you can't do that, but it tends to not fix it. The best you can do is like, you know, stand up for yourself. And if they go away, let them go away, because that's probably the best you're going to get until they go and work on their own selves. And part of us working on our own selves is we got to do our own work in spite of what other people do. So that's actually the subject of the show, which is be happy, be anyways, be happy just because that actually helps you to get out of it. And while I understand it's very hard, and when you're around like other people that are negative, and some will, I do see you do live in a house where things are going to be rising, the happier you get, you may just not be able to spend time with them. So it's like about getting your work done. And sometimes, and I've seen this with people with a really amazing work ethic who are absolutely some of the biggest jerks you're ever going to meet. And not all people with a great work ethic are like that. Thank God there's some people who are great with their ethics who are absolutely wonderful. But when you see people who are like really great work ethics, but they're absolute jerks, when you say I'm working and I'm busy, you can actually notice that some of them will like back off and they'll leave you alone, and they'll leave you alone to get things done. So doing your work, not explaining why you're doing your work, but just saying I'm busy, I'm cleaning the kitchen or whatever. I'm saying you do have some people that will take a wide berth when you're doing it, and you learn how to have your own happiness while you're doing your own, you know, share of the chores. You're learning how to have, and it provides you space while you're, you know, working on your own skill set and actively doing that, because you need to actively work on your skill set to get out of any situation that you want to get out of. And the more that we do that, the more that we focus on self and doing the things that we need to be doing, even though it's uncomfortable to deal with other people, that's what gives you the skill set to be able to leave. Because, you know, if you weren't trying to fix other people or trying to make them understand what you're going through, you would know you couldn't live there. You would just constantly be having people just like at you, because that's what they're doing is And to be clear, they're not going to be able to fix this on their own. I really want to be clear about this. I could say it very clearly. They cannot fix this on their own. This is training that people need. This is specific therapy. This would be somatic therapy that people need in order to be able to discharge those irritated feelings within themselves. And you can't talk somebody out of it. They can't meditate themselves out of it. They actually need specific work done on themselves in order to help release and heal trauma, so that the feeling can lessen, dissipate, or actually go away. And there is actually nervous system work out there. I love nervous system work. I love somatic therapy. I really want to be clear about this, because it helps the people that otherwise people just get frustrated with. They're not going to fucking budge. You know, they're, we'll put it politely, not woke. And it helps to get to those internal systems. And from there, the people that are willing to take responsibility can make a change in their lives. But until that's done, especially if you've got people who don't have the training, even people with training, until that's resolved, they won't be able to resist the temptation to lash out. They just won't. It's just part of the process. And again, the only thing that fixes it or helps to relieve it is to go do self-development and to go do somatic therapy. Until that happens, they're pretty much just going to act the way that they are. And I know that's a very frustrating experience, and people tend to not like that. But the only way out of it is to grow self and then take ourselves out of those situations and into situations that are going to be better. So right now, you know, this time of being quarantined, it's a really good time to focus on self and do the things that you need to be doing. And, you know, the people, sometimes people don't want to, you know, increase their own vibration because they're going to get picked on more. Those people are going to pick on you anyways. It's just you won't have the skill set to leave after. So not to anybody who's going to suffer from like great amounts of abuse. You know your own situation better than I do. This is not about, you know, going through great amounts of abuse. But you do have to figure out, you know, when you do a certain action, it's not about getting abused by doing a certain action, but it is that you have to figure out other ways to work yourself out of it. And sometimes even if they're nitpicking, I got a relative like that, you know, and that's all they do. And they're not correlating that with the fact that that's why they're so miserable all the time. And they're not correlating it with that they need trauma treatment. But, you know, to get out of it, you have to grow yourself anyways. You have to figure out ways to grow yourself that even if they're going, you do anyways. It's just there will be a limit where it's like, okay, there's like great amounts of abuse that somebody would have to put a stop to. And, you know, that's not worth overcleaning the kitchen if you're going to, you know, if somebody's going to be getting like slapped around for it, that's not worth cleaning the kitchen over. But there will be other things that you can do in order to help grow yourself. And you have to do those things. And that's the only way out. So thank you for writing in. I really like that question because, you know, it's really important because when we're dealing with, and I see this a lot in codependency, people think they can honestly make other people change, and they can't. You really can't. Even for people doing treatment, you have to for somebody to get proper help and treatment, they have to be willing to do their work. And I'll tell you, as a coach, I've seen people walk into help with the attitude, with a really bad attitude, and they're like, if you're good at your work, you're going to fucking fix me. And it's like, you can't do it without their own help. You cannot fix anybody or help anybody who's not willing to do their own fucking work. Never works, ever. But in codependency, people tend to, the more codependency people have, the harder of a time that they have with that. Only thing you can do is help yourself, make your own changes, organize yourself, and from there, leave the situations with people that don't want to cooperate. So we have Jane from Arizona. And she'd like a reading. She wants to know if there's an external negative force or entity blocking the flow of energy in her home. So what she do about it? Jane, sweetie, I've got another Jane to recommend to you. Jane Tulips. I would really like you to go talk to her. Based on the amount of energy that I'm seeing around all that, I really would like you to get a different perspective. I don't really deal with the entities so much. So I'd really like to see you go with somebody who's dealing with the entities. Or like other things that may be going in there. I'd really like to see you go that route a lot more. So let's see now. Who else do we have here? Pasha. Oh, I love that name. Pasha in Minnesota. Can I get a reading about her daughter? Is she going to be okay? And is there anything I should know about to be able to help her? Okay, so one moment here. Pasha in Minnesota. Ooh, okay. So, Pasha, this really goes for what I was just talking about. People have to be willing to help themselves. If they're not, and it's really, really hard to watch that when you're dealing with your own child, until people are willing to help themselves, they're not really going to be that helpable. So what I'm seeing with your daughter is a lot of, like, lashing out. There is stuff that she can do. But sometimes, like, one of the problems, like, when you've got illness and these sorts of things, or when you've got, like, people who can't function, as people's comfort level tends to be that they can't function or that they're ill. And then when to come out of it becomes threatening, because if somebody stays in that position for too long, that's what they know how to do. And it becomes scary because they don't know how they're going to be able to react or live when they come out. So what I'm seeing with your daughter is, there's a lot of like bashing out help. There's a lot of like thinking she shouldn't have to help herself. There's a lot of game playing in there, sweetie. You know, and games are really dangerous. People often underestimate severely how bad they will fuck their lives over by playing games. And unfortunately, you know, you've got somebody where until she's willing to do that, you're just going to keep going through the ringer over and over and over, a little bit of games. You know, some of it, your daughter is sometimes responsive, which can make it a little bit more troubling. or harder to figure out. You know, it's like sometimes your daughter does, you know, act a little, does seem to be receiving your caring ministrations a little bit. It feels like you're about to get through with something, and then she turns. And these are one of the things, these are habits that people go through when there's been trauma. These are habits people go through when they feel like they've been very victimized by life and they're not taking responsibility to come out of them. This is what happens when people play games. There's not really any way in, because if you've ever had a bad mood and all you do is, and somebody tries to cheer you up, you're like, nope, forget it. You feel, you know, you can feel that, okay, wait, you're starting to be happier. Nope, fuck it. And you decided to stay in a bad mood anyways. That's how easy it is to like, you know, hurt somebody else, to lash out at somebody else, to make help stop. And unfortunately, that's what I'm seeing your daughter is doing. So, you know, there's really a lot of choice about this. You know, go on with your life. Your daughter's not going to appreciate it. If anything's going to help her respond, quite frankly, it's you getting on with your life. It's you living your best life that you possibly can. And then I'm seeing your daughter be like, Mommy! And that'll help to draw your daughter to you, is the fact that you're happy. And I know it sounds kind of strange that, like, that's the key, but we've all had experiences. And they talk about this with, like, male-female relationships, where it's like, if you try to make out for a guy and you chase him around and you're not getting any response, keep flashing out, go out into your own life, usually men will respond really, really well to that. It's the darndest thing. And it's so counterproductive to what women want, you know, or think that's needed. They go chase. But sometimes, you know, even with other women or young ladies, as the case may be, it's actually very beneficial to go and live your own best life. And when people come out, because you're not putting pressure on them, there's nothing for them to play as much games with, because there's nothing for them to bat away, because you're not giving them the help. You're not trying to put it in there. And from that perspective, they'll come to you because they want it, and the energy will change when they come to you, because it's a safer space, because you're not infringing. And from that perspective, you can, you know, love your daughter, but you're going to have moments where your daughter's going to pull away again and stuff like that. And it's going to be like, ha ha ha. And she's going to be playing games with you again. And then you just, and I know that hurts your feelings, because I can see, because I was like, okay, so, and then you just go back to doing what you're doing. And then I'm like seeing Tasha be like really hard. And it's like, you know, that's tough, but that is part of the process. And, you know, it's not like going in, like, every time your daughter's being nice and then your daughter's kind of like giving you a bit of niceness and like stuff like that. And maybe, you know, you get your hope up and then she's being happy again. Your daughter really needs therapy. I really want to be clear about this. Somatic therapy would be very beneficial. This stuff isn't going to be cleaned up without some sort of outside help. You know, somatic therapy is good for illness. Surprisingly, it helps with, because medical procedures and stuff like that can actually be very invasive. There's all sorts of things that can go wrong that people don't know about when getting medical procedures that can actually create PTSD. You know, and there's other sorts of traumas that can have happened in the past that can lead a person to be doing all these things, these lashing outs, all these game playings, et cetera. So your daughter, again, will have some responsivity. So it's not about being dragged into the game all the time. You know, you can love your daughter, but if you're loving your daughter and she's, you know, kind of wavering between playing games and not, but it's a very subtle waver, then it's up to you whether you want to stay with that. When she's really playing games and she's really lashing out, go do the things that you're supposed to do and learn how to build your happy life. Because if she's willing to do the things, then you'll have more of an answer of how to help her. You know, and you can still love her, but the more that you work on and help yourself, the more that you'll just be able to love her regardless of whatever she's going through. And then when she's crying to you that she doesn't know what's going on, there's something wrong, etc., you can love her through it anyways and you can help her, but your energy will have changed and she'll be more willing and able to accept the help. and this is something that's really not understood, is how us healing and helping ourselves can actually help traumatized individuals. Because when people are very traumatized, they think it's bad, mean, or selfish that you're somehow happy without them. But it's actually the thing that helps people come out of it. The darndest thing. So anyways, so thank you so much, everybody. My name is Elho Shotara. I'm here every single week on News for the Soul. that's 3 p.m. PST, Chicago and New York. That's your rush hour. I'm an authenticity coach, spiritual coach, intuitive reader. I do life coaching. I can help you break through the patterns. I've got really strong work with this. It is really absolutely amazing. I've got some of the best processes you're ever going to find. And for the stuff that You need a little bit more help with through different modalities. I'm also excellent about recommending. And so I'm all around. I'm going to help you make sure you get the best help you possibly can. So my name is Elho Shotara. You can find me here on News for the Soul Radio. You can find us on me in our archives. That's newsforthesoul.com. And you can also go to my website, www.enlightenmentinthecity.com. Go there, book your session now. I love you all. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.